So our talking point today is irrational fears. It's BBC Radio Oxford 95.2 FM. Lisette Offley is a hypnotherapist who is helping our previous guest, Penny, to conquer her fear of heights before she abseils down the JR. Now, I know, Lisette, that she's actually not had any sessions with you, but how do you think she's going to do?
She'll do beautifully. She's a perfectly intelligent and motivated human being, and she will do fine.
Brilliant. Okay, you've got every faith in her.
Absolutely.
What sort of things are people afraid of that they come to you about?
Goodness me. Well, there are all sorts of things. As you've been saying in your programme today, it could be absolutely anything. I mean, there's a difference between fears and phobias.
Right.
Your unconscious mind is there to help you make sense of the world and to keep you safe. And if it perceives danger, it will do its best to keep you away from that danger. And the way it does that is by making you so scared of it, so uncomfortable, that you won't go near it.
Now we
so it could be anything.
And what, sorry?
It could be absolutely anything.
Okay, like?
Well, if it's a phobia, so take the classic birth of a phobia, because, of course, we're not born with phobias. We're born with a couple of rational fears, and that is of loud noises and of falling.
Okay.
And if you think about it, physiologically, we're pretty much the same these days as we were 10,000 years ago when we lived in caves. And we jolly well had to be frightened of loud noises because they meant mortal danger. You know, things like cracking rocks and trees and wild animals. That explains the loud noises and the fear of falling. We should be down here on the ground. We shouldn't be up high. Anyway, the point is that because we're pretty much the same as we were then, our unconscious mind is working the same way as it did then. And it's there to make sense of the world to keep us safe. And so, as a child, if, for example, if you're walking up the stairs with Mummy for the umpteenth time, going to bed, and suddenly all hell breaks loose, Mummy's making a hell of a racket, and you're absolutely terrified because Mummy's terrified, and she's pointing and screaming, pointing at a spider on the stair, boom, the child is going to learn that's real danger, I'm really, really scared, and that's the source of danger.
That's why I'm scared of dead birds, and my mummy's too, you see.
You see, the other thing is that if there isn't somebody pointing out their source of fear, if the unconscious mind is looking around for the source of fear, it's going to have to make a decision on your behalf. Same as it does if you put something your hand on something hot. You withdraw your hand, it's an automatic reaction because your unconscious mind is helping you with that to keep you safe. And so if there's not something immediately obvious, your unconscious mind will cast around looking for the source of danger. And that's when it starts making miscalculations.
Oh, clever.
So it could focus on anything. It could be a bright, shiny button. It could be jelly. There are all sorts of puppets. That if you Google phobias, yeah, on the internet, you will have hundreds and hundreds of official names for all the different phobias there are.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
Some of them sound really hilarious, but of course they're not hilarious to the person who's got them.
No, some of them can seriously affect their life, and you know, we laugh, but it's not a funny subject half the time.
I did about half. But that's the thing, that's the difference between a fear and a phobia. You see, Penny has a fear of heights, not a phobia. A person with a phobia will absolutely go nowhere near the source of their fear. Whereas Penny is saying she's absolutely terrified, but she's jolly well going to do this abseiling anyway.
Now, you deal with cognitive hypnotherapy. What exactly
is
that?
Right. Well, that's different from hypnotherapy, in that cognitive hypnotherapy brings together the best of what neuroscience has to teach us. So, for example, Trevor Sylvester at the Quest Institute teaches word weaving and NLP and cognitive hypnotherapy. And John Grinder, one of the two co-founders of NLP, his thing is New Code NLP. And I'm able to use all these different therapies, including energy therapies and several other things. So I've got this big toolkit. So when somebody like Penny turns up, I'm looking and listening very carefully to how she's behaving when she's talking about her fear, and the words that she's using and how she's behaving while she's just talking about it and thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And that informs me which tools I should use, just to get the quickest and the best result.
Now, Lisette, could you do something for us? We had a caller earlier on who's scared of a few things. Could you have a listen to this and just cast your professional ear over it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The main one is statues. I'm much better than I used to be, because I used to kind of bent double in fear when I was near a statue. I think it was when I was like a toddler, and I went up to the Natural History Museum with my family, and I ran into a great big model of a mammoth. And of course, I walked into its legs and looked up, and there it was. And I think, if I remember rightly, we had to go home because I was in such a state. The one that used to be outside the Radcliffe Infirmary, the fountain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If I had to visit anyone there, I had to walk past with my hand in front of my face. And the ones on top of the Ashmolean Museum aren't very good either.
That's only the start of it, isn't it? There's a long list of fears for you. Children with painted faces.
Yeah, I can't.
They're not going to help hurt you.
No, I hate them. Absolutely hate them. Especially the tigers. No, really, even if they're on the telly, I can't watch them.
Now, my favourite one, though, is you don't like...
Oh, God, everyone knows this, people who know me.
Come on, tell us.
I don't like cup of soup. If anyone's drinking soup in a cup, I can't stand it. Even talking about it, I hate it. And if there's an advert on the telly, I have to not look.
Now,
soup, I don't like soup, full stop. But if someone's got soup in a mug... I've had it.
Where does this come from?
I haven't a clue. So the statue one, that is quite difficult because I like going to museums and things, and I have to, whoever I'm with, I have to send them through wherever we're going into the next section
to check
to
it
make
out.
Sure.
Statue
and like my
alert.
Friend Hazel one, she was going, when we go through the door, there's two busts, one either side on pillars. So I have to kind of walk as though I've got blinkers on. And my sister had to walk around the Victoria and Albert with me last year, and I was like looking down at the floor all the time. I was, because I just wanted to shut my eyes really, but she was leading me along because I was looking down on the floor.
That was Andrea from Abingdon. Lizette, is there any hope? Can you help her?
Oh dear, she has got rather a lot to contend
she
with,
has.
Hasn't she? But you know, it's interesting, she was talking about statues, and she remembers the event when she collided with, you know, the legs of a statue, and that would have been such a shock to the system. That's obviously when that particular problem was born. And she can't remember what events led up to the other problems.
Cup of soup, I don't know where that came from. Dear, oh dear.
I must admit, I haven't heard of that one.
No. Don't think you ever will either.
Well, we'll see. The thing is, your unconscious mind is working for you in the background, doing all these things automatically, so you wouldn't necessarily know what actually happened. But we do know she wasn't born with a cup of soup phobia.
No, so she wasn't given that as a baby.
She learnt it, so if she learnt it, she can unlearn it and learn something else instead.
She
might need help to do that. The other thing is that because your unconscious mind is there to make sense of stuff and to keep you safe, when it's found what it perceives to be the source of danger, it will look around for other evidence to prove that that's correct and look for other sources of similar danger, other similar sources of danger, in order to keep you away from all of them. And so then it starts getting into a bigger problem, and more things come into the picture, just like this.
It's fascinating, Lizette. Just briefly, what do you think has been your biggest success story? Somebody that you've managed to sort out, really, in terms of fears?
Goodness me. Somebody who had claustrophobia, agoraphobia, so afraid of enclosed spaces, afraid of going out into wide open spaces, afraid of driving, afraid of being on the train, and afraid of flying, and who wanted to go to China.
Oh, right.
And he came all the way from Bristol, a two-hour journey. The interesting thing is that I have people coming from all over the country. I'm just outside Henley-on-Thames, and the furthest has been somebody from Cumbria up north.
And did your client get to China?
Yes, and he got stuck in a lift while he was there. The lights went out in the lift. There were Chinese voices shouting at him. He got one plane over to where he landed in China, got straight on another plane and went off to where he was actually going to. All this mayhem in a lift sometime during his visit. And then he came back to see me, bringing me some Chinese money to prove that he really had been.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's really satisfying, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's really made a huge difference to his life, obviously.
Good stuff. Oh, well, listen, best of luck with Penny and her abseil down the JR. I'm sure she'll be fine.
Thank you. She'll be great.
And thank you so much for an insight into hypnotherapy and your methods and how it all works.
Well, if you want to find out any more, go to soundspositive.com. That's as in musical sounds, all one word, soundspositive.com.
Great stuff. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Lizette Offaly, hypnotherapist, and with some wise words as well.